program is the focus topic, which is deafblind services, and Nancy Floral is going to start that.
Is it tape recorder on?
Yes.
Okay. For the focus topic,
wait a second, please. Get the microphone to me. Thank you.
For the focus topic, we're going to start with a panel of individuals that have so graciously agreed to come and present today. And I'm going to start by introducing these individuals and their interpreters. And from there, Cheryl Poff will be moderating the panel. But one of the parts of the focus topic that I sent out a kind of a write-up to the Board of Commissioners is that Cheryl Poff will be here until around 2:30. If you're interested in seeing some of the other communication methods that she uses as a part of her day-to-day life at the office. And then I do believe that there are maybe some items that might be available through the Commission for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing. I want to, really stress that in working with individuals who are deafblind, that it really is important to collaborate with other organizations and build their services into our program just to maximize the services and to meet the needs of the individuals. So I really value the Commission for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing and everything that they do to support us. Today we have the director of the Commission for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing here and supporting us in this effort, and is also interpreting, which is so appreciated. We had two interpreters back out at the last minute. So Pete Sellers is here with the Commission for the Deaf. And he is presently interpreting for Robert McKnight. We will make sure that he has time to comment at the end of our presentation and maybe share any personal thoughts.
Okay.
The next person we have is Randy Swanson.
Hey, Randy.
And with him today is his interpreter, Chris.
Chris Hahn.
And Randy is a vendor, and he will talk a little bit more about himself and his job. And signing for Cheryl is Karen. We have Ron Oaken, who is active in the community and has retired as a computer programmer, and will be sharing about his very active retirement. We have Matthew Pettit, and signing for him is Cindy and Lori. I'm sorry. Also with him today is his grandmother, Vera. I am so sorry. I have Myrnas and Veras. And I apologize. And then we also have Patty Swanson, who also is retired and is very busy with volunteering, which she will share some of her activities. We had a new person that we were working with that had hoped to present and had a family emergency, and then another person who was supposed to be here and isn't. So, but we do have some really delightful presenters. And again, if for some reason you don't have time to see some of the equipment but are curious, just contact us and we'll make sure that we have it set up a time to be able to coordinate a demonstration. So I'm going to go ahead and pass this over to Cheryl. And I do want to thank everyone for agreeing to be a part of this presentation.
Thank you, Kathy. Well, I'd like to take this opportunity, too, to say, you know, we couldn't be where we are today if it wasn't for Nancy and Bob Deaton and Pearl and the support of the Board of Commissioners for the past 10 years. Can you believe it's been a decade since our Deafblind project started? Thanks to Bob Deaton for writing that grant. So now looking forward to our next decade, we thought we would have our panelists share a little bit about some of the things they've been doing these past 10 years. If you can't understand me, tell me to speak up. If I talk too loud, tell me to shut up, okay? Okay, so with that, and interpreters, if I talk too fast, tell me to slow down. Okay, let's take the first question, okay? And the first question is, tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, what you've been doing. And Randy, if it's okay with you, I'd like to start with you. Can you tell us a little bit about what you've been doing? Maybe if each person could give us maybe about 2 minutes, that would give everybody time to share their old experiences and things too, okay? Randy.
I have been doing and hearing up there since I was in grade school. I attended Wayne State College and I had to draw many classes because I could not see to read books and to understand what the teachers were talking about. I would try to read other students' notes. I got out of Wayne State and became a licensed blind vendor. And I currently work at the post office. We've been doing that for 30-some years now. And I use a large visual TND for a telephone so I can read the characters on it. My computer has Zoom text with 4 times magnification. I can only hear 5% in my right ear. And that's all.
Thank you, Randy. We'll come back and pick on you later. Hi, Ron. Could you share a little bit about yourself and what you've been doing?
Okay, my name is Ron Oaken. I live out near 120th and Dodge, and I'm retired after being a program analyst for 29 years in Des Moines, St. Paul, Minnesota, Bloomington, Minnesota, and 8 years in Omaha with FDR. I'm originally from North Carroll, Iowa. I went to the Iowa School for the Blind.
Thank you, Ben. Hi, Matt.
Hi.
Could you share a little bit with us about what you've been doing?
Okay.
Hi, I'm Matthew Petty. What I've been doing in my day, I'm in 11th grade in Lincoln, and I was born blind in my right eye, and then when I turned 1 year old, a retina detached in my left eye, so now I have light perception right now. That would mean I can't see to read print or drive a car.
Hi, Patty. Mm-hmm. Yeah, could you tell us a little bit about
Patty Wanted in Omaha and Randy, my husband.
Hey, what else?
And I'm going to cooking. I'm cooking and take care of my husband. And I'm going okay. I'm going to go back to work. I'm in, back to Minnesota, take care of my animal.
So she enjoys cooking and she...
Cooking.
And she volunteers at the Humane Society. Oh. She just has started back doing that.
Well, I made like a new 3 year, my new kitten, and I go back to work.
She has a 2 year old cat that she enjoys. So she likes taking care of her cat and her husband.
In which order?
And your husband?
Oh, yeah.
That's why I asked which order.
Hi, Ron. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? By the way, that wasn't Ron.
That was Robert.
Robert McNutt. Okay. Okay. Let's have another question. Yeah. Randy, can you give us a little bit of information on how you communicate, like when you're in the community and when you work, but also like right now, if you can tell us a little bit about what's happening now, that would be great.
To communicate with people, I ask them to write things down, or I try to read their lips if they have good information, or if I'm looking, they might know finger spelling. Most people do not, so they end up writing things down for me. I can voice pretty fairly well. I use large visual display TV for typing and calling a phone. My computer uses Zoom text 4 times. We generally communicate okay, I guess.
Thank you. Ron, same question. How do you communicate?
I use Braille, and I have a Braille display on my computer, and I use tactile signing when I have somebody available. I do have helpers who can sign. We call them SSPs, Support Service Providers. I also use a closed circuit TV, and I have screen magnification software on my computer. I also have a device, a mechanical device called Teletouch. It would take a while to explain what it is, but they don't make them anymore, but I have one, which is handy when I'm traveling, because almost anybody can use it. If I have to guide them, but it's a good alternative.
If anybody's interested in seeing one afterward, I have one in my office. I'd be very happy to demonstrate that for you. Ron, could you please share with us two the method of communication you use as far as signing, like tactile, and could you also explain POP, print on palm?
What people communicate with me use? People that communicate with me use tactile signing, sometimes write with a pen on a pad, and sometimes print on palm. Almost anybody can use print on palm. But again, I have to guide them. I have to explain. It's not everybody can do it right the first time. Print on palm, and almost anybody can do that.
And if you would like to see a demonstration of that, maybe later you can come up and ask Ron to show you.
I can show people.
Bobby, you use a screen rail communicator. Can you show us your screen rail communicator?
I can show them how to.
Yeah.
Now.
The screen rail communicator. Elaine's going to get it. Yeah, that was me. He's going to show you what he is. Okay. Elaine, would you mind sharing a little bit about
Okay, the screen braille communicator is a great way to communicate for me with Robert. I know just a little bit of sign, but on one side of the communicator is like a regular typewriter keyboard. and it's connected to a type of note taker, really, that has an 8-cell braille readout. On that piece as well is a readout so that I can see it. So as he's typing, I can see what he's trying to tell me. So I don't know. What else would you like to know?
Bobby, do you like this?
Stay.
Yeah.
Ready? Tell me when I stand, okay?
Pete is going to type something to Bob, and Bob is going to type back.
How are you?
Hi.
Pete
said, "Do if I spelled
something wrong." That must
not have spell check. Made a mistake.
No spell check. Believe me. And if one of the things with it is if he's reading and there's a button that he pushes to go back with his braille readout, it stops the keyboard from inputting. So sometimes he only gets a portion of the word, or he's got words that blend together because it's when I've been hitting a space. The other unfortunate part right now with this one is that it no longer prints out the numbers. Oh. It gives it to him in a number. Mm-hmm. You know, like if it's he wants to do something on the 19th of November. When I put 19 in, he can still read it as 19, but when it comes back to me, it comes back as AJ.
He answered my question earlier. I asked him earlier if he liked it. He said, yes, he liked it.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Matthew.
Hi. I'm going to give you. How do you communicate?
Well, I communicate with sign language and braille. Well, with the communication, I use interpreters and at Google. And I use the cochlear implant, and people would talk through my left ears. Okay, that's where my implant is. A better ear, and it's allowed in the school building, like for example in the cafeteria, then it'd be hard for me to hear the people in my with my implant that's allowed. But in the classroom I use interpreter, but if it's in a quiet place then I can hear people better. Right than here I couldn't hear. Like, for example, I could probably hear some rain and noise in the background somewhere. I don't know what it is. So, that's a good example.
I think you can hear the ringing.
Yeah, I can hear that. Okay. I can hear troublemakers tapping their pencils and quack.
Thank you, Matt.
May I
This is Pearl. I just want to explain one thing. Just so everyone knows, the microphone is just for the sake of the recording. It's not, you know, public address type of a microphone. So the reason we try to get it around to everybody is so the recording will capture what you say. Thank you.
If I could comment too, there were been one couple instances when an interpreter was talking softly and I didn't pick him up too well. Thank you.
I'm speaking bad.
So, Patty.
Hi, Patty.
Me again.
Yeah?
Oh, well.
How you communicate?
I'm braille in a cookbook and I'm pumping bread today. I'm learning how to braille the bread, all different kinds of cooking book. Oh. And braille. And then I thought I can't read that talking book. And a library on a blanket. I take care of the apartment and cooking. That's all I take. I'm in diet. And in the morning, I get in the laundry room. And Randy working in a chat room in the lobby. He's trying to bot it together to get ready for Dobson. I come back at work and that way because it had the floor and then it had the floor or something.
So for communicating, you use braille?
Yep, braille.
And you have a cochlear implant?
Huh?
Your implant? You have a cochlear
implant.
It helps you to be able to hear?
Yeah.
And you can hear now on the phone? And that helps you?
To put the button on a telephone.
And it helps?
To put it on a wire, an earphone too.
So she has a little device that she wears on her waist, and she pushes that to help hear on the phone.
I had it at a life plan this year. It was real thick. It makes me dizzy in my head, and I can't stand up. I feel better now.
She had it about 6 years ago.
This year. 2004. The plant in February in June, summer or something.
And then she also uses tactile...
I had a little one, like my left eye. It's a different one, and another side is like a left side, right side.
She has a hearing aid and a cochlear implant.
Two-way.
And she also uses tactile signing.
Thank you, Patty.
Yeah?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Patty brought up a good question. She brought me to my next question. And let's see, who can I pick on here? Hey, Matthew, I'm going to pick on you.
Okay.
Matthew, how do you know when someone's at the door or when the telephone rings? What do you use?
How I know when somebody's at the door is when somebody rings the doorbell, and sometimes if I'm at home where there's a dog in the house, the dog was barking at the door, and I had to figure out how to get the dog to quiet down. And with the telephone, I can hear the telephone ringing in a quiet area. Right now, my phone in my pocket and it turned off. So if I hear the phone ringing, then I don't know who's calling, but you can always cut it up so you can have a ring that, like if you had a favorite ring for a certain person, like your friend or your wife or your husband, and you can set that ring in, and then when that different special ring, then that means, oh, you know that who's calling. So, thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. Avon? How do you know when someone comes to the door
Oh, when the phone ring and everything. I know when I be you, I always like to ring a doorbell, and I put in the Nebraska fight dog.
Right. Yeah, where you live again, I'll come over and ring the bell.
Well, that's my problem. Oh. I can hear noises pretty well. My problem is understanding words. I have a buzzer for a doorbell, and it's very loud. And I even have a sign on my door to tell them to push the doorbell button more than once. But people still don't do it right sometimes. So I'm going to have a new sign that says push doorbell button repeatedly. Okay. But I don't have any problem hearing the doorbell or telephone ring. It's understanding words is the problem.
Thank you. Bandy,
how do you know when someone comes to the door or the telephone ring or anything like that? How do you know?
No problem. Our lights in our apartment will flash. We have about 9 lamps, and they're all hooked up to all our systems. And when you touch the door, everything will flash. If the phone rings, they flash. If I want padding, they flash. No problem.
What about that work?
I miss the calls until I get in my office, but I'm out filling the vending machines. There is no way I can know what telephone call is coming in. So I wait until I come in my office, and then I see that I have a message.
I'm going to thank you for answering that question. I want to take this opportunity while I'm over here and ask Rand if you could address, how do you get around to appointments and to work, medical appointments, grocery store? What do you use for transportation? Is that easy for you? Would that have been a problem? Could you please share that with us?
I use moving to get around for everyday things like work. Chris is my driver and takes me grocery shopping on Saturdays after we finish work.
Thank you. You're back. I'm just up. Hey, Ron. How do you get around for transportation?
Transportation. I sometimes use Mobi and taxis, and I do a lot of walking, so it's quite a problem with all the snow and the sidewalks. But I'm getting through the snow also. But I do a lot of walking. I eat out once a day, and that's part of my exercise. I walk a mile to a restaurant and a mile back.
Thank you.
Matthew, how do you get around?
Well, how I get around is depending on where I'm going. When I go to school, I use the Dartran City bus in Lincoln, Nebraska, which I ride all over town. And to get to medical doctor point, my grandma would take me there. Okay, if I get ready to the doctor's office, that would probably stink. And to get to grocery store, I will drive.
I'll stay off the road. I'm only kidding.
I'm just kidding. I can't drive.
I'll have Jim keep them.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to change this next question just a little bit. Robert, you made those delicious brownies that we had today.
Oh. Yes, thank you.
Did anybody try those? everybody is cheering for you because those were delicious. Can you tell us how you made those?
I did make the brownies.
Three boxes. Four eggs.
Oil.
You put them together.
Put them in the oven. Or about 5 hours. And I turn it to 8 more minutes. And then take them out.
Touch them. And 30 more minutes. 8 minutes.
Robert?
They have to cool for 8 minutes.
Robert, this is Cheryl. I haven't ate lunch yet, but I sure ate that brownie, and it was delicious. Patty.
What's the question?
The question is, Patty? I'm sure that anyone who had that pumpkin bread thought it was delicious. Can you tell us about it? How did you get the recipe in? Did you make them at Christmas for your family?
Yeah, I bought a book, Recipe in Braille.
You have your recipe in Braille?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. You wrote me with my Randy by your table.
Oh, she brought it. She brought her recipe book if anyone wants to see it.
You go get it?
And so she uses her Braille for cooking?
Yeah, here.
Okay, yeah, it's here. What else do you want to know?
Can you share a little bit about what do you like to do for fun, Patty? I know you love kittens.
What do you do for fun? What do you like to do at home? What do you like to do?
Not fun, it's work.
I know.
I'm in trouble.
You like to play with your cat? And you talked about the library and the books.
The books? Yeah.
You like to listen to the books?
Put your book on Braille book. A movie.
Movies?
Mm-hmm.
Who's your favorite?
Elvis Presley.
I think she has all of his movies. He's your favorite.
My favorite.
So, anything else?
That's all.
No?
Sometimes I read a movie and song the music and Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins musicals.
Those are really good movies. Okay. Matthew, what do you like to do for fun? I heard a rumor.
Uh-oh.
I heard that you actually flew an airplane. Is that true?
Yeah, I did.
I got to hear about this.
You got about that one. Okay. Could I know how to fly a plane? Just kidding. What I like to do for fun is play on the computer, talk on the phone, actually on the cell phone, especially. And but not in school because I don't want my phone taken away. And and I like to travel and ride on planes. And well, what I liked about travel, it's fun, but you also learn about new things. Like I went to Colorado last summer. That's a fun thing, and I learned what to feel like to be on a mountain. But I did not run into mountain bears or lions.
This is good.
Thank you. About the plane part is, excuse me, when I remember, here's the special situation that happened to me, where I was flying to Detroit for the national convention for the NFB last summer. And when I got to Detroit, it was on a small plane, and we got there 40 minutes early, and there were only 8 people on the plane, and those other people get off before I got off, and I was like, how come? And then they asked me, do you want a tour of the cockpit? And it was the nicest pilot I ever had, and I remember the saying, he said, don't worry, buddy, the lights are shining on you. And then I sat down and I tried to pull the steering wheel up to see if the plane was going to take off, but the plane was grounded. So that was a good experience. I got pictures. Well, I didn't bring some pictures here, but I know I did took some pictures of it. And I had it on a PowerPoint at school.
I would love to see those.
Okay, come fly with me.
You're a great sense of humor.
Ron, what do you like to do for fun? I know recently you just came back from vacation.
Ski for life, I think.
What? It's long. I'm still skiing. I was in South Dakota last week skiing with Ski for Light. But I'm not sure. Anyway, I thought it might be my last ski trip, but I might still be at it. Okay. I also like ballroom dancing and bridge, but I haven't played bridge for a while. I'm kind of limited to reading columns, bridge columns in the newspaper. I solved the jumbo word puzzle in the Omaha World Herald daily. Amen.
Thank you. Hey, Vanny, what do you like to do for fun?
I love to watch the Nebraska Vito teams.
Right. Right on.
I'm betting on the Colts for the Super Bowl. I like to play solitaire on the computer. The only problem is when you magnify it on Zoom text, you don't get the whole picture, and you have cards either on the right or the left. but you win some, you lose some. I used to love playing Powerball until they changed all the numbers and added too many to it. Then I quit for a while. I haven't played for a long time. Mostly, I work.
When you win that Powerball, remember me. I'm your long-lost sister.
Hey, Randy, it's $140 million. Go buy a ticket.
Hmm.
Oh, wow.
It's pocket change. But
He said he didn't have any sisters. I'm the long lost one. Yes, hi, Bob.
There's Cheryl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's talking to everybody. Cheryl signing Christmas wish in Colorado. Not talking about Colorado. It's Cheryl's name.
Yeah, yeah. He tried to do my name down. Yeah.
Nancy, I'm impressed. I didn't know you could.
I didn't know.
Yeah, he was doing my name thing. Okay. Robert, can you tell us what you like to do for fun?
I like to run both. Fun? Oh, water ski. That's
water
cool.
Ski.
Water ski.
Water ski.
Wow. Water ski. Okay.
Oh,
wow.
Rowing the boat.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, he rowed the boat. Like. Yeah.
But you have to be careful because it's very deep.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Okay, I have one more person. Hi, Patty. Yeah, I'm about to pick on you.
Pick on me, you guys.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to know what you do for fun.
She already said that she did. She already said that what she does for fun. She said
okay.
That she cooks and reads books and plays with her cat.
Okay. This pretty much wrapped up most of our questions and things like that. Can I open this up to the board if they would like to ask us any questions? Could you do me a favor? Could you raise your hand so I know who has a question? That way? Yeah. And could you identify yourself too, please? Thank you.
This is Mike Hansen, and yeah, it was very informative to hear all your guys' comments on the techniques and alternatives that you use. And I realized everybody's different, just like the blindness community that I'm more familiar with, we all have our own ways of doing things. I was really surprised, though, that I didn't hear that you used more techniques involving vibration for things. I thought I would hear more of that. For instance, like telephone ringing, that you might comment that you use some sort of a vibration device, especially with your cell phone or something.
Thank you, Mike. Anybody else have any questions or comments to come on board? Dale?
Daryl Wallace.
I'm going to hand you the mic.
Excuse me. The board doesn't. The board has.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay, Daryl.
I just have a question that
you all can answer, or some of you. What has been your biggest challenge?
Would everybody like to try to answer that?
Anybody?
Danny, Don, Matthew,
would you like to answer that?
Yeah, I got one.
Okay.
My biggest challenge is to get all the brown material in time.
Okay.
Like sometimes it's bad. Sometimes it's always difficult. If the teacher just hand me a print copy and just expect me to read it, making a regular student go into a room and have the light turned off and make them read print. Yes. The same thing.
That's good.
And if you don't get all the braille material in on time, that means more like burning the bridges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you, Matt. Ron, would you like to share with us what your biggest challenge is?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
A storm or something. What? My biological challenge. My big challenge. I can't think of anything specifically. It's a problem that I can't drive, or a problem that I can't use the telephone. The telephone might be the biggest challenge. It's even hard to use a braille phone, and the email makes up a lot.
Okay.
And there are other options that I haven't tried, such as a substitute telephoning using email. I can't think of the name right now, but anyway, there are other options, but okay, mostly telephoning, I guess. Everybody has a cell phone now, and I still can't use, I can use a regular phone to some extent. Like, there's one short, I ordered a pizza, and I had I could teach the pizza order guy, I could teach him how to say yes and no over the phone. Like, if you press any button three times, that's yes. Any button two times, that's no. In other words, the same number of pressings as there are letters on the word. And if you're talking to a friend, you can extend that to press any four tones, pressing a button four times, that would be don't know. Or press it five times, that might be maybe. But anyway, yes and no go a long way. If somebody... Amen.
Thank you.
Biggest challenge?
I would have to say my biggest challenge is getting out of bed in the morning. Not that I don't want to work, but I have room with all the arthritis. You have good days, bad days, and days which are plain and rather forget about. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's not. I'm always up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I work at 5 o'clock in the morning. So we have kind of long days. I go to bed by 7 or 8 o'clock at night. You have a challenge every day with your blind vendor.
Thank you, Rick. I just want to mention that Robert's parents, John and Calvert, just came in. I was wondering if they would like to comment or anything, share anything with us. I'll come back. Excuse me.
Maybe Sarah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
Would you like to share anything?
I'm not trying to put you on the
Is that what?
Anything you'd like to share
about services that
Well, Robert graduated from Ralston High School and has had services from the Commission for the Blind for several years. To be honest, we would have been lost without him. Teresa Koontz introduced us to Helen Keller, and when she first mentioned about Robert having possibly going out there, I thought I was going to faint. It was a wonderful experience for him. And since he's been back, Elaine and Cheryl and Nancy have been our resources for a long time, and we're very grateful for that. He meets with Elaine once a month and likes to cook, does a lot of... So anyway, they've been good resources for us. His SBC that he uses and... Anyway, did you?
Well, I just a couple things to add regarding Robert. His independence seemed to just expand when he went out there because he had always been around us without, except for maybe 5 days every summer going to the Easter Seal camp. So just being on his own helped tremendously, and the people were so supportive, and he had several different jobs, from at a hospital to an Applebee's, and the training that he got. I mean, he had worked hard with his braille, and he was deaf since birth and started losing most of his sight at about age 10, or gradually until he has some, enough to kind of see the leaves on the trees and different things like that. But, yeah, it's a great experience. If you know anybody who can get out there, and if you fly into LaGuardia, just make sure you just get a taxi or a limo to take you. It's a lot easier for the money. It's not that much, but it's a tremendous experience. He went out there for 3 months one summer, and then the following year after he graduated at age 21, he went out there for what was going to be at least 3 months, but extended to 9 more months. And then he came back, and he just seemed more mature, and immediately started working over at Mosaic. So he works awfully hard, and has done great things there at his job. So I don't know if you have any questions, but. Thanks for having us. You guys are all an inspiration to me because it makes my life seem that much more simpler to operate. So thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. You know, it has been a privilege to watch Robert and also Matthew as they matured through the past several years, past 10 years. And about 10 years ago, I met Matthew and his grandmother Vera here. And I remember one of the questions that she asked is, do you see a future? And I said, yeah, I can see Matthew being the director of the nursing home where I might be someday. I remember that. Yeah. I'd like, if you could you share with us a little bit about, some of your experiences and...
I'm going to get it.
Yeah, I'm Matthew's grandma, Vera, and I don't know what we would have ever done without the Commission for the Blind. When we learned that Matthew was deaf and blind, we knew about the deafness because his parents were deaf, but we knew nothing about blindness. And try to get information through the schools was just, we got nowhere. I happened to be out to the building where the Commission for the Blind was one day for other business, and as I went by the door, I saw the sign on the door that said Commission for the Blind. And I stopped and looked at it for a long time, and I thought, I wonder if that's something for us. And I finally walked in the door, and they welcomed us with open arms, and We still, to this day, go there continually. They have been such a good support for us. We had all kinds of questions about blindness because we didn't know about it. And they always had our answers, you know. If they didn't know the answers, they found out for us. And it's just been, like I said, if I don't think the public schools would have ever directed this to the commission because we didn't know about it at all. We tried to find out other programs. We found out nothing except when we went to the commission. They've provided Matthew with all kinds of programs. He's been to USLAM back in Baltimore. He's been to Winterfest. He's been to Saturday group times with blind peers. Another great thing is the mentors that they have provided him. Amy and Shane have just went out of their way. I cannot say enough about Amy and Shane. They have supported him all the way. Shane goes to school and helps him with his technology. Nancy's helped with the technology a lot. You know, he went to the training there in the summertime and they worked on him with mobility and braille, cooking, shop. Got to do a lot of different things. Anyway, I could go on and on and on about the commission. I definitely was glad I walked through the door that day. And I guess I'll tell you one little experience we had with the schools. Matthew had gotten, he had a Braille and Speak, and they got a printer for him when he was in grade school, and it came with the wrong cord. And every time I'd go over to school, I'd say, "Did you get that cord?" And they would say, "No, we ordered another one, and it's still not right." And this went on for over a year. And finally one day I walked into the commission and I said, "Can I talk to Nancy?" And I went in and told Nancy what our problem was. And she says, "Hold on." She went over to her cupboard, she pulled out a cord, and she says, "Go try this." So I went right over to the school, walked in, handed them the cord. And they said, "Well, it works. Where did you get this?" Anyway, that's what happens with the schools, and that's what happens with the commission. They got right on it, and they took care of us, and they're still taking care of us.
Wow.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody, for sharing your experiences with us today. In closing, I just want to know, did anyone on the board commission, Pearl or Nancy or Bob, have any comments? Elaine had to comment.
I just want to make sure that everyone knows what a wonderful, special effort that our interpreters have done today. Oh. Normally, each person would have two interpreters. And if you can think about for the last hour, the shoulders, the arms, and everything, they've just got to be exhausted. So if it were me, I'd pay you each $1 million today.
That's on public record, Elaine.
What did you say, Jim?
That's on public record.
Oh, that's on public record is what he said. Well, unfortunately, you can't that's get awesome. Blood out of a turnip. Remember, I'm a state worker.
That's also on public record. So.
Fantastic.
So, but I thank you for the interpreters. They have just done a wonderful, wonderful job today. Thank you.
Good job. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Very, very good presentation.
Yeah, and we also would like to take it up. Can we switch with Pete? Yeah. I would like to take the opportunity to recognize Pete Tyler. We had an opportunity to meet Pete when we went on the Bob Carey Bridge last summer. Pete and his wife and his daughter came and joined us. Last summer, Pete and his wife and his daughter came to Omaha just before they were moving here, and they joined us for the trip
on the Bob Terry Bridge. And we were all excited to have this opportunity to meet Pete and his wife and his daughter. And since that time, Nebraska has been fortunate because Pete has involved us with, you know, services for the deafblind and the deaf. And we're really excited to have him join us in Nebraska and welcome him. I don't know if he remembers me, but many years ago when we had a school for the deaf, he worked there, and I met him there a long time. We won't say how many years ago, right, Pete?
A few days ago.
Ooh, really? I'm going to give this mic. I'm going to give this mic to you if you'd like to share anything.
Okay. Normally, I use my voice, but in this group such as this, I'm not sure how closely you'll be able to hear me, so I'll use the interpreter. Like, she'll tell you that I have a heart for people, well, deaf and hard of hearing, and blind as well, as you may know. I couldn't see either when I was small. Yeah. I had a pair of pliers. Well, that's a long time ago. You know, the old gas stoves that I had in the middle? And I saw my dad take something out from there, and I thought, wow, that looked pretty cool. So I did the same. I think I was about 4 years old. I didn't have any speech, and I didn't sign in that time either. And so I was playing with the stove, and the pliers scratched my eye. And ooh. So it did heal, fortunately, but that was a long time ago. I had to wear blinders for a while. And I do remember not being able to see. That was very lonely. So, I thought maybe he would sit down with me and help me and chat with me. That didn't happen. But nowadays, technology is overwhelming at this point. So I didn't have a telephone back there or nothing. But nowadays, there is caption. We have cell phones. We can text each other and such. And that's one reason why I joined Nebraska Commission for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing, to be honest with you. Also, share equipment, and we help people that are hard of hearing, deaf, and blind require ways to get access to telephones. We do provide, with the help of the Public Service Commission, communication, the deaf-blind people, and we can use this equipment. Telebraille, for example, too, that you communicator that you saw, that you had example of hearing about earlier. We have conference phones and that'll help people with low vision make the text larger, and so to name a few. And there's no cost to the people whatsoever, and so we came here and we decided to work with the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and visually impaired, so we can share, we could be a resource to each other. So I'm really glad that we're here together today. It's been a wonderful experience thus far to come back to Nebraska. My daughter loved that walk on the Cary Bridge. And she thought to herself, deaf, blind people can, wow, that's amazing. That was really a good experience. Well, thank you very much, Cheryl. And thank you, too, for setting up the panel. There she is, Nancy over there. Thank you so much. So it's been my pleasure to be here today. Thank you for asking me.
Okay, I think that concludes our adventures for today. Did anybody?
I'm sorry.
Oh, Matthew wants to make a comment? Okay.
Here we go, Matt.
I got a comment about.
A question, too.
For the communication part, I was hoping to get a deafblind communicator. Because I heard about that and I didn't know what it was exactly until I went out to Omaha to accessibility.net and I found out what it was. It's mostly for testing. So you guys should get one, so that way you can catch Cheryl Pop and your interpreter at 2 o'clock in the morning. And then I got a question about clapping. Do you guys clap by banging the table for when you're deafblind. Oh. That's what I learned from a long time ago. When you both to bang the table, probably wake up.
Matthew, I do have one of the communicators to my office. If you'd like to see it, I'd be more than happy to show you.
Okay.
And Hubert has a question.
Yes, Cheryl. For the purpose of this recording, for those folks who are from outside of Omaha, could you define the form of transportation that Mobi is?
Metro. It's...
Mobi is a paratransit option, much like the city bus, except it's under the metro area transportation services, the bus service, except that what it is that it's for individuals who have not just a vision loss, but also may have other mobility issues, and that's, you apply for that, and it's kind of like the bus, except that it's a van, and it goes 3/4 of a mile of a fixed bus route. And they have a special application for that in order to use Mobi. And it's a paratransit.
Okay, thank you, Cheryl.
Okay. Anything else?
Questions? Julie? Okay. Yes.
Anything else?
Nope, I think that's it.
Barbara,
can hold
you
on,
wait
Barb.
Just a second?
Mike's coming over to you.
Thank you, I'm sure.
Yes. Well, I have a statement to make for one thing, and then I have a question. I know Patty Swanson. Her name was Patty Fulton, and I'd like to see her before she leaves. This is the question. How do people wake up in the morning? I mean, you know, when you can't hear what, you know, how do people get up? I wake up, you know, well, I don't necessarily, but if they can't see and if they can't hear something, you know, it'd be kind of hard to know what time it is and all that.
Matthew would like to answer you.
I got one. You got my next one. How I wake up in the morning time, on a weekend I just get up whenever. but it's early. But on the good day, I had a vibration alarm clock under my pillow.
Yeah.
So I'm used to the shock when I'm sleeping and all of a sudden the vibration goes off and I wake up. Well, when I first got that, I was like, oh my God, what is that? Until, and it's like when you're sleeping and then when you first wake up to that vibration, you don't really remember what it was until you're wide awake, then you know what it is. So that's a good technology to use.
This is Cheryl. I would like to share in the old days, before we had the technology that we have now, I too have a dual loss of hearing and vision. And what I used to do is I should take a pie tin and I should take a big band alarm clock, you know how loud those are? I put it in the pie tin and voice it between the two pillows above my head. And that's how I would wake up in the morning. That was the good old technology day. And a lot of times, that big band alarm clock would be on the floor. But I still managed to get up.
It worked.
Anybody else have any other questions or anything?
All right.
Any comments? Matt? Nothing? Okay.
Sorry. Okay. Here's the question that I might. Do you guys have any short story to tell or anything?
Howard does.
Howard Compton, I like
it. Yeah.
Howard Compton. Still.
Hang on, Howard.
This is going to get all of you.
Oh, Lord. I didn't put enough to this here.
Our adopted grandfather was hard of hearing, or not profoundly deaf, but very hard of hearing, used hearing aids. And Matthew reminded me of something very funny, and when he spoke of the vibrating alarm clock. Grandpa was always late when I would pick him up for doctor's appointments because he was like Matthew and liked to sleep late. So we got him a vibrating alarm clock, and because he slept very sound, I snuck in one morning and put the vibrator under his arm. Well, it's a good thing that the 38 was on the wrong end of the bed that morning. So I found it kind of humorous, but he did not. And that's all of the story.
Was the 38 loaded?
Yes.
Oh, oh gosh.
All right. Thank you very much.
Good job, guys.
Thank you. And thank you for fixing us lunch. It was awesome. Yes.
Thank you.
Very thank you very food. Much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nancy and Cheryl have graciously offered, if anyone is interested in a demonstration of any of the technology, I think Nancy said that would be available until about 2:30. So you're welcome to make your way quietly to the back of, you know, outside and go to do that at their office. Okay, I think we will go ahead and move on to our next agenda item. Which is everybody okay? You guys don't need a break or anything.
Need a break?
No, let's get moving.
Keep going.
Okay. I didn't need a minute.
I got you. Okay, so our next item is switched from this morning, so it would be the report from the chairperson, which is me. I know you guys are all excited. Okay. I don't have so much as a report as specific things, topics that we need to address as we move forward. My first question or discussion item is attendance at the ACB and NFB conventions. Jim brought up a question. I know we talked about this last time and the refund payment.
Reimbursement.
There's the word. I can't think straight. The reimbursement of the expenses for the conventions. Jim has formally invited me as the chair of the commission board to come to the April ACB State Convention. So, I will abstain from any comments and let you guys tell me whether or not that is an invitation thing that I'm supposed to present at, or if that counts as one of the two state conventions that I could be reimbursed for.
Let me clarify. When I asked Julie to, I probably should have taken a break. When I asked Julie to attend the state convention, I asked her before the policies we adopted in November were finalized. And don't know if that has any bearing on the outcome or what have you.
Jim?
And I'd like, what's up?
Will she be presenting at all, or will she just be a participant in the audience?
Both.
Well, so she'll be presenting then?
Yes.
She'll be giving some sort of an address as the chairman of the commission?
Right now, okay. Julie is on the agenda with Pearl. So I'm just curious
can I ask a question? Is it your, Julie, I know you're going to go to do that, and I think that's a fine thing to do. I'm wondering, is it your preference to go to the whole convention? To me, that would make a difference. And if you choose to be at the whole, then I believe, my personal belief would be that you should be reimbursed, but it would be count as one of your
the two.
Right.
The ACB convention is just Saturday, correct?
We start Friday night with the train ride in Fremont. Saturday is the business, and Sunday is continuation of business. But you're part
okay, so,
of the...
So Saturday and Sunday are the actual convention, because Friday night's only a social
right.
type of event. Okay.
Right.
So you're looking at Saturday and part of Sunday.
Right. Well, your official whatever is Saturday.
Saturday.
Well, you know, my question is, do you plan on being there for the whole convention on Saturday and Sunday?
Honestly, I hadn't got that far.
Okay. Well, to me, that would be the difference. If if you're just going to present, then I think that's ACB's business as a presenter. If you're going to plan to be for the whole convention, it might be.
Okay.
You know.
I understand what Nancy's saying. I think I agree with her.
Okay. I think for simplicity, we need to think about situations like this in the future. But I think for this one, I'll just count it as one of my two. So I guess I need to approach the board, and how do we word that? I have to state that I'm intending to go to the April ACB convention, and I would like that to be a reimbursable expense.
So moved.
And I'll bring back the report or talk about it or that portion at our next meeting.
And Daryl moved, and I would second that would be appropriate. And I don't know, do we need to talk to you about that because of the reimbursement part of that?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, because, you know, we said as long as the commission could bear the expenses.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, well...
Okay. Well, that's the plan. I mean, it may not work out, but my plan is to go. So hopefully things will work out. One of these days something has to work out.
Julie?
Yes.
I guess I hadn't brought this forward yet, and April's coming up fairly quickly. I had kind of lost track of time with other things, but I had commented privately to a couple people that I thought it would be a good experience, and I would like to attend the ACB convention this year.
Okay.
Is that something that would be possible if you were going also? Would I still be able to do so?
I think so, yes.
I thought this was all pretty cut and dried, but I would have no problem with that as long as it's in our budget.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And then I guess I'll just, would that be all right, Pearl?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then, do I need to?
We need to approve Julie's first,
okay.
We can do a vote on that, and then I think we can go on.
We could do both, okay. One at a time, whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Question for the chair: since the vote involves your funding,
yes,
do you want to conduct the roll?
No, you get to do it. No.
Okay. I knew I was vice chair for something. So. All right. Everybody's heard the request that Julie has made. So I guess it's been moved and seconded, yes, that she be reimbursed for her, what have you. And so I guess we'll start with the roll call. We'll start down with Mike. Mike, are you in favor, or what's your vote?
Yay.
Daryl?
Yep. I mean, yes.
Julie?
I'll abstain.
Nancy?
Yes.
And I would agree with that. So it's, with the one abstention, it's nearly unanimous.
Okay.
I move that Mike Hansen be reimbursed for attending the ACB convention in Fremont if it works in his plans and he wants to attend.
Okay.
I would second.
Okay. I have a move and a second for Mike Hansen to go to the ACB convention and be reimbursed. Mike, would you like to vote?
No.
Nope. Daryl?
Yes.
Jim?
Yep.
And
that's abstain. Right. I'm sorry. That was confusing.
Anyway, abstention. Two yeses.
And I'll say yes. And Nancy?
And yes.
And yes.
There you go.
Okay.
And I think we're responsible enough to do this. I just hope,
you know, everything, you know, when Mike brings up some good points and, you know, like, you know, is this, you know, if they're going to spend the whole day, or maybe Nancy brought that up. Or,
Nancy did.
Yeah, but hope this doesn't all come back to bite us someday, but I guess we as a board always are going to vote on it, so, you know, we can say yay or nay, or, because I had no objections to any of these two going, and I hope that we can continue to do this, and, you know, the budget will allow it, and mm-hmm. I think it's great.
It's always contingent on the budget,
on the budget. Yeah.
And we know that we're in whatever.
I just think it's a great
budget
thing.
Cuts.
Actually, Madam Chair.
Yes.
I should probably make one more comment. Remember I said it's possible the budget would be cut further. Mm-hmm. Certainly the costs to attend an in-state convention are, you know, that should not be any problem.
Right.
But for example, if at some point we have a vote and a couple people want to, you know, go to one of the national meetings, and I say in February, yes, that will work, understand that if things change, you know, we have to do what we have to do.
Exactly.
Okay, that's
right. Just so everyone understands
that. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. And that's, I think,
we're all on the same page.
I think that's what we had.
Yeah. And I would like to encourage both Mike and Julie to show up, if at all possible, Friday evening. ACB is sponsoring a ride on the dinner train. No cost incurred to the attendees. We're picking up the tab.
Wow.
So, and Kathy, the information is on the website now. But I would encourage you both to show up Friday evening.
Okay. And I would like to add that even though that's, you know, social, one of the important things about attending the conferences is having a chance to get better acquainted with people. So if it works, it is a good idea.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. I agree with that wholeheartedly.
It is,
I think,
great, yeah.
Getting to mingle with, you know, the blind people that are attending the conferences are terrific ways to get knowledge and you know, where blind people, you know, think there are problems or not problems or wonderful things and learning information, that's terrific.
You'll get to see how Jim delegates authority to as ACB president.
Oh, absolutely.
He doesn't do anything.
No, I don't. I sit there and...
Never mind. just kidding. That's on public record over there.
I know. Just joking.
Oh, well, okay. I guess we shouldn't joke
about it. Okay. We'll move to our next item.
Sorry, we digress.
Which is discussing other conference attendance. This is things like anything that RSA has going on or the SAB, yeah, there we go. Conferences or the other, Pearl sent out that information, so you guys had a chance to review that and check your calendars. Is anybody interested in attending any of that?
I would love to go to Bethesda, provided that no one else wants to go first, because I've been once, and secondly, contingent upon me finishing my modules.
Okay.
I wouldn't feel right to go if I didn't do my modules.
Bethesda is NCSAB.
NCSAB.
Yeah. Okay. And
it is really a learning experience.
When is that one?
April. It's actually the week just before the
state
we
convention.
Would get back Friday night of the ACB convention. So I probably won't be on the I won't be on the plane ride or the train ride. I'll be on a plane.
It'll be in Minneapolis.
Sound like fun, though. Probably be stuck.
Did you want to go?
No.
Stop
this year.
Okay.
Thanks, Gwen.
Okay, so Daryl's going to Bethesda pending...
If possible.
Yeah, what are your...
Pending the funding. And
okay.
I need to approve him?
I don't think so. We haven't before.
It's so...
Because that's more...
I'm going to take a couple days without pay, so, I mean, it's so... rewarding and educational to me to go. That
it is definitely.
I
went
really
to one in San Diego. I mm-hmm. have to agree. And the
experience.
Discussions are very good. And
Madam,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I think the only it would be important to see if anyone who has not been
right.
to those NCSAB meetings was
right.
interested
yes.
this year.
Exactly.
Julie, I can say that my intention was not to attend any other conferences
okay.
this year.
Okay. Jim?
That's the week of the state convention. I can't go.
You can't go? Okay.
No, neither can you.
thanks.
Julie doesn't want to use up all of her options in one turn.
1 year, that would be.
I think that's probably more travel altogether than that close that I want to. I don't want to do that.
Right.
So I will pass. So Daryl, you're the only one. So you're it.
I want a 3-page report, triple spaced.
There will be a very good report. Much more concise than last time because I dropped my pack mate in the airport or in the hotel before I left.
Okay, the next item is the phone conference attendance.
Ooh.
Yes. I know that's something that Nancy did in the past when she was the chairperson. My evenings are very busy with work-related things. I have, I teach classes in the evening, and I'm just not able to do a lot of evening things.
I will be willing to represent us each time.
Okay.
Barring illness or something.
Okay, that would be awesome. And if you could just... During the chairperson report, I'll give you a couple minutes and you can just update us.
I always rely on Nancy to do it, and a lot of times I participate a couple, three times, but yeah, I would be willing to do it.
The evenings are just crazy busy, so that's a really hard time for me.
I think it's really good. I do intend to continue to, but I appreciate the fact that Daryl wants to be there too.
Yeah, that would be very good. I think it's important for somebody to be up with that. Okay. Let's see where I'm at. Okay, the next item is the articles for the center newsletter. I just submitted an article that will, pending editing and other newsletter matters, will appear in the next issue, and I think it would be really beneficial that continuing from that one of us would have an article at each subsequent newsletter of the center. Just, it was very easy. Mine is like in an interview style. Jeff sent me questions and then I just answered them, and then he arranged it into an article, and it sort of, it's like an interview type of format, so it was really pretty painless. And he could do it over the phone, too, if that works better than writing out your answers. But I would really like to see the other commissioners participate.
No problem.
In that.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure, we
can. I'll let
that.
Jeff know.
Yeah. Tell me when I'm there. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Staff survey is our next item up for bids. I don't know what to say. Do we want to try the internet-based one again?
No, I think so. I think the bugs worked out.
Julie, I heard right, it worked well, except for there was something wrong, like last year where all the results were lost and people had to do it again.
There was some sort of technical difficulty, and I don't know enough about the programming end of things to tell you what went wrong. But it was
not important.
It was about half of the people that theirs got lost.
Okay.
And had to resubmit it.
Okay.
So Kathy worked with the website administrator people, and it is theoretically fixed. However, theoretically, yes, because we've had just a lot of bugs with it. So, but the old method wasn't real great either. So, what are you guys going to do?
Hold on a second. Kathy, can I ask you a quick question about it? Does when you as an employee, when you fill out the survey, in any way, does it ever ask your name?
No.
So you could. Is there anything keeping you from going back and filling out the survey twice or three times or five times?
Yes, it prevents that.
So there's somewhere you have to log in or something because it keeps you from doing it.
On the same computer.
The machine knows that it's you. That
if you've been to that site already, type survey, and we'll log you back online.
So
you could go to like three other computers. And lock on. And
if you want to do that,
Go for it.
Right. What my point was is I've done surveys for work before. I've done surveys for work before where you log into it or you put your name in someplace during the survey, and that's just solely so it keeps a list of who's done filled out the survey, but it doesn't associate it with the answers.
No.
That and so you know who the answers have been stored for, but you don't know who answered what. So it's still anonymous, but you know whose answers have been retained.
So you could only go once as Mike Hansen, but
yes.
If you chose to go as Jim Urich, you could, if you logged in as Jim Urich, would that work? That's what I'm saying. Of course, I suppose it would be...
Yeah. Anyway,
My opinion is that I think the staff is trustworthy enough we can extend that.
I agree with
you. Know,
would it be hard, though, to... At school, well, we had a lot more teachers, I guess, but we had a climate survey or whatever. We had a username and a password. Is there any way that could be implemented so once you did it, like, it was locked and nobody could get in it again, like...
This is just my honest take.
Go ahead. I don't know.
I would like to not, if we're going to use the computer web-based survey,
uh-huh.
I would like to not add anything or make any changes until we get the way it is working 100%.
Okay. I'm fine with that.
Yep.
I'm fine with that.
That's just...
Yeah. There's a small enough number of people.
I mean, yeah, supposedly the technical issues have been worked out.
What are the questions that are asked? Since I...
Oh.
Yeah, we could send you a copy of it.
I can send you the copy of it. It's there's two sections. Part A is the executive director evaluation.
Okay.
And it's
it's been
I can guess what the question
is now 10, so it works out better.
Yeah.
I mean, because we were getting answers like, you know, this is the extreme, but you know, no, A on one question and, you know, E on the other part of that question. So between the board, several of us kind of looked at it. Julie did most of the work, but most of us looked at it, and we divided mm-hmm. those five questions into 10. So we have more questions now, but there's more clarity there, too, I think.
Okay. Yeah. What's the other half of the survey?
Staff satisfaction.
Employment satisfaction.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Do you know what your job responsibilities
right.
are?
Okay.
Are you happy working here?
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
bunch
okay.
of questions like that.
Okay.
Most of it is on a 1 to 5 scale,
okay.
based on our number. The very end, there's a couple of open writing, open-ended. You can just write
okay.
comments. But, yeah, we'll get you a copy of that.
No, I'm fine with it. This is, I'll see the questions when they come out.
Yeah. And it's... Whether we use the web-based or we go back to email and the suggestion box, it's the same questions.
Okay.
So.
Let's keep it web-based.
Okay.
That's my thought.
Let's try it again.
I'd have to agree.
I think it's.
Okay.
Because in the first place, it seemed like to me we were getting about the same amount of respondents
mm-hmm.
whichever way we did it.
Right.
And the people that, you know, said that, wait a minute, my comments weren't there or something, I got very willing to go back and do the whole thing again. I was, you know, that's dedication to the
yep.
job. That's dedication to blind people, making the commission a good place, which it already is, but even better.
But on our end, it's much easier
you bet.
Right.
to have it done on the web
oh,
because it's all
definitely.
Tabulated.
You bet.
So okay.
It. And it does all the work for you as far as, you know, adding up, you know, there were so many that answered A, so many
mm-hmm.
that answered B. So, you know, it is a lot easier for us to do that.
And with Mike's experience with computers and websites and different things, if we have to change some things next year, then we'll be able to use your advice.
We'll find
I have a question.
Yes.
Kathy, isn't it correct that now there's a different entity that handles all our web stuff, is that right? It's part of...
No.
That's not right. Oh.
That's just the listserv.
Oh, just the listserv. Okay.
Yeah, our web is still monitored by
Nebraska.
NICUSA.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
When do we want that opened up?
Whatever the dates, I would say that it should be
first
parallel to last year. because the timing was all worked out with regard to how much time they need to get it in, and then you need to look at it and then get in for my evaluation. So if you could just have Kathy look at last year's and
that,
whatever the...
Our,
and we haven't really finalized the date in May anyway when we're having our meeting. Is that correct?
Well, that's the next item on the thing.
I think we probably need to do that before we would...
Daryl had indicated that he may have a conflict for the May meeting. Oh. Am I remembering that wrong?
Yeah, no, this is the bottom line, and I'm flexible. If we have it May 14th, is that what we're going to do? 15th, okay. So I still am at work on the 14th, so I would not be able to leave until, you know, probably assuming like 4 o'clock for a trip to North Platte. If we move it to the 22nd, we have state track up at Burke on the 21st. So I work from 7 to noon, taking tickets or what have you, and then I'm free.
Okay.
So for travel time, for drivers, that sort of thing, I could leave by, you know, 1, 2, or whatever on the day of the 21st, as opposed to having to leave at 4, 4:30 on the 14th.
And the 21st would be for me too. The 14th is my mother's birthday.
Okay.
Pearl, Madam Chair.
You're busy. Right? On the 22nd?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I just want to comment that if leaving on, well, whichever day it is, when you leave from Omaha, you certainly could say drive just as far as York if you want, or Kearney, and stay there overnight, so you wouldn't have to be in North Platte, mm-hmm. you know.
Right.
And I know we tend to think of the whole thing as one drive, but since we have a mm-hmm. a night of lodging anyway, it would be fine to do it that way.
Okay. Does the 14th work better for you than the?
You mean the 5th for mm-hmm. me?
Yeah. The 15th. I'm sorry. I'm thinking.
I'm just in favor of leaving it with the date that we had set, if at all possible. I think arrangements have already been made. Right, Kathy?
Oh,
that
did
we
you
have
do
the place?
Yeah, I've got a place reserved.
Okay.
Already. We start, I think, part of the thing in May, towards the end of May is when you're going to start getting a lot of more of those high school graduations, and the
right.
hotels are going to be booking up faster.
Right.
That's probably mm-hmm. true.
Okay. Will that work, Daryl?
You know, I don't mind doing it halfway or even going the whole way, as long as somebody doesn't mind, you know, driving.
Well, the drivers, I mean, they're free to decline if that isn't a trip they want to make.
It's still state by now.
Yeah,
it's like till like 9 o'clock then.
Right.
Okay.
Except you're driving right in the sun.
Okay, we'll leave it the 15th. So I would like to... If we could have the surveys completed like by the beginning of May, so could you coordinate?
So like April 31st.
Coordinate all that.
There is no 31 days in April.
Or April 30th. Mm-hmm. Yeah, excuse me.
Yeah, just so we have like a week or two to look at the surveys and.
I'll send out a schedule and I'll get it approved by you guys.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay. Our next thing is attendance at state staff meeting. Remind me again when it's April. It's beginning of April, right? State staff meeting?
Yeah. I want to say
6, 7, and 8 is what I remember.
That sounds right.
At least that was a tentative date I saw.
Yes, that's correct. 6, 7, 8.
Is that finalized?
Afternoon of the 6th, all day the 7th, and the morning of the 8th.
Okay.
Now the actual when you folks would be there, you know, that I don't think that was determined, but I like it if you are able to be there like on the full day, and part of it is to speak to the staff, but part of it too is to hear what's being presented, to hear kind of the discussion mm-hmm. and get better acquainted with staff and how they're thinking about things. I, when I send out a note to get ideas from people, I think I said to staff to send their ideas to Kathy. Have you received any ideas?
Two, I think.
Okay, I think I saw one, and so.
Okay.
Where will state staff be again this year?
It's in Lincoln.
It will be in Lincoln.
At the Southeast Community College Conference Center, which isn't, it's like 78th and O instead of, or something.
Okay.
And we'll stay at the people from out of town. We'll stay at that Jace Mini Suites. I'll have to stay at home.
What time, do you know what time it'll start in the morning on that Wednesday then?
Oh, probably 8:30 or 9.
The last couple of years then. Thought we were there on the Tuesday, but whatever works for people, I don't care. But
yeah, I mean, if you'd rather just come on a half day, either Tuesday or Thursday, that's fine
just
too.
Just tell me when I'll put in for the vacation.
Whatever's going to work.
It certainly is school-wise setting it up, and if a driver has to leave early or something, or if I have to leave early, you know, if I take a half day, that means I got to be there till 11 and can't leave till after then. For me, just having it for the whole day and then would work better, because then if we stay the whole day, we do. If we don't, fine, but I've got that.
Well, if it's going to start like 8:30 in the morning or whatever, is it appropriate for, you know, coming in from Hastings and New York to be...
Come the night before, yes. Yeah. Yes, okay. Absolutely.
Okay.
Do we have a specific time on the agenda?
No.
No, okay. Well, then I think then we can just come whenever individually it works.
Well,
I don't think, you know, we have to, you know, if work schedules don't permit, you know, like for Daryl, well then, I don't think there's any.
Well, the only thing is if we have actually a set time. When I say there's no time, I should say yet.
Oh, okay.
There will be.
Okay.
Unless you tell me that you'd rather not, you just want to be there. But generally, we do like to have some segment of the agenda be your time to do whatever you want as a group.
Right. And I don't know. I guess I have mixed feelings. I definitely enjoy being at state staff meeting and learn, you know, with the presenters, because then I kind of get to know what the focus, like last year it was the employment and the soft skills, you know, and really learning where the agency focus, you know, where they're moving. So that's, I really enjoy that, and I like talking to the staff and seeing what's going on and, you know, individual accomplishments and that sort of thing. The time that's been set aside for the board, I don't know that that's really been beneficial for accomplishing what I feel, you know, I'm contributing to. I don't know what I'm trying to. It feels like a waste of time.
I do hear you, and I kind of agree. I think it was more important when the commission was first formed and used more effectively by staff when we were new, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I personally don't have any problem with not having a set agenda time. I just don't want to not do that if you folks want some time. But if we could try it, well, and especially since there has not been much in the idea in the way of suggestions, I think maybe the staff are feeling the same way that you just said, is we like to get to know the board, but, you know,
in a more relaxed, conversational setting.
Right.
Yeah.
And exactly. If we did it that way, then, yes, you could each just come. If one of you wanted to come and stay the whole 3 days, that'd be fine. If one of you could only be there one day, I mean, that would be really fine.
I guess personally, a whole day would be kind of interesting, because then, you know, usually you have some neat programs too. I know one time you had something on Social Security and you know, different things. And then when you're there the whole day, or, you know, you have the opportunity to visit with the center, the commission staff and so forth at lunch, and
I think
do a little bit of talking, but more listening than anything to the programs and finding out what's going on.
I think that'd be a great thing to try this year.
Okay.
And just let me know, or I mean, let Kathy know
sure.
when you intend to come, if you need one, two, three, or nine nights at the hotel.
It is a nice hotel.
That is a nice hotel, exactly.
They'll say no.
You're not going to end that before.
Okay.
Abuse privileges.
Does that work for all the commissioners? Mm-hmm. We're good with that? All right. It's a plan. My next thing is that we had a submission to the staff suggestion box, and I did not bring the exact text of that, but everybody's read it. And the gist of it is that we have, like, Employee of the Year and Manager of the Year, mm-hmm. and those sorts of awards, but there really are a lot of outside organizations that we partner with that have been really super helpful and instrumental in getting blind people the services they need, you know, especially if there are other issues going on that they need services that the commission doesn't provide. And that, anyway, and those organizations have been really great, and could we recognize them in some way? And I think that's a very good idea, personally. I
do too.
Sure.
Whereas the Employee of the Year and Supervisor of the Year is an every year occurrence, I don't think this particular award, there are years where maybe that isn't as true, and maybe there are years where it's true for one or two groups or whatever. But, you know, as long as we're, not trying to make up something that's, you're right, there are a lot of places that we could recognize, and I personally think it's a good idea too, but just so that we're, it should be a special award is what I'm saying, and it shouldn't be, let's see, who do we give it this to this year, this kind of thing.
Okay.
I don't want to not give it the weight. I don't want it to sound like this, because I'm not sure how you guys would feel about this. I don't want to make it sound like I'm not giving it to Just Do or think it's important, but would, because I'm not sure, like, you'd go to the governor and have him issue a proclamation or something.
Oh, but, no, this is just like a...
But what I'm getting at is, could we do something like that, make an official document that says, we, the Board of Commissioners of the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired, hereby wish to formally recognize such
good
employer.
Idea.
So kind of like the governor doing it, but at our level.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great idea.
Officially recognizing them and actually issue them the document and, have it look somewhat nice so that they can frame it and put it on their wall in their business and whatever. But,
right.
And if you want to make that a plaque, make it a plaque, but make a nice formal document and give that to them.
And we have our wonderful logo now, too, so I think that could work.
Definitely.
Okay.
Can I get two people to work on the details of that? Like how people would be nominated and what the time frame would look like, and do we vote in a meeting? Just all the details? Can I get some volunteers?
I guess I'd be happy to do that.
Okay. Somebody else want to work with Mike? I'm delegating. Somebody's supposed to volunteer.
You are good. I don't know how much help I would be, Mike, but I'd be happy to.
You're hired.
If you want to bounce ideas off of me or whatever, I would do that.
You would be good.
That would be awesome.
Both would be good.
Right.
Okay. Good deal. Let's see. Meeting dates. So we decided May 15th is the August meeting. We set a date for that last time too, didn't we?
That was the 16th, I think.
Is it the 16th?
Or was
Kathy?
It the 9th? Is it
the
16th?
The 9th.
Was it?
I think the 9th is what we said.
Wait, the 1st is on a Sunday, so it must be either the 7th or the
14th.
The August meeting date.
If we set it.
I thought that was the 15th, 16th.
I've got a note of August 14th from the previous meeting.
That's what I thought.
August 14th.
Okay. I just couldn't remember.
Yeah, okay. Hastings is what we. August 14th.
Yeah. Okay. Did we set a November date? I don't think.
Yeah, that was November 6th. I remember being mad about it. It's the day of the Nebraska-Iowa State game.
I don't think we set a date in November, did we? We set a date.
I have it on it, November 6th on my calendar.
Okay, I don't know where I was.
Now we could do October 2nd and 9th. There's no football.
Yeah, we can move it to November after the October date.
November 6th is fine.
Okay.
That would be in Lincoln, I think.
Yes, the November meeting is Lincoln.
I just want to say that November 6th is Wintercraft.
Good, let's move it to October 9th.
I never thought of that.
How could you move it to the 9th?
Pearl, you don't work at Winterfest, so that wouldn't interfere.
It would not interfere with me.
Okay.
Bob and Carlos both normally attend
the Winterfest
from the deputy director perspectives, but so Bob would not be able to be there.
Okay.
Now we said the November 13th and 20th, those dates were out. Is that what we...
Fateau suggested those dates be out, otherwise the clients wouldn't be able to make lunch.
Well, another thing is the NCSAB fall meeting is that week ending Friday the 12th.
Oh, yeah, that weekend didn't work.
I think we should just leave it at the 6th, and we'll need to pick a focus topic that Bob and Carlos don't have to present.
Oh, I can make it. Oh, Bob is the one.
It's Bob.
Oh, okay. You don't go to Winterfest?
I just go on Friday for a presentation.
Because October seems a bit early, the 2nd or the 9th.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was just concerned. I don't know what topic Bob focused.
We don't either.
Dwarf yourself into two people.
We need to decide on focus topics. We've discussed it through email, but it didn't get very far. So.
Well, didn't we talk about going back and getting?
Starting at the beginning again.
Yeah, regurgitating what the topics that have been visited in the past, that it's time to go back and revisit them again.
We kind of are doing that, right? Because I'm the oldest person, in every sense of the word, I guess, on the board. And we did do the vendors program before, the enterprise system, and we did do the death blind system. So we essentially we are already doing some of that. So
okay.
I have a suggestion.
Okay.
Since I've been here, one group that we haven't heard from is the technology team.
I was thinking that too.
How about that? That sounds good.
Wonderful.
That's the deal. Done. Technology in August? August is Hastings.
Yeah.
Let me throw this one out at you. How about technology in November? Because then that's one that we know Bob doesn't need. I think
that's
it's safe
true,
saying that Bob doesn't need to be at.
Okay.
Yeah. That sounds fine.
Okay. Technology in November. What do we want to do for August?
Kool-Aid days.
Do we want to do...
You're going to hit it pretty close.
Youth programs?
Oh.
Like Winterfest and PI?
Yeah.
Ooh,
and we also have team teaching things. We've done that in Omaha, not that long, but we don't necessarily include all the things.
I think that's a good idea.
Well, we could do winter. What's the wages? There it is.
Yeah, all that would be interesting.
Wages would have just got over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would be a good time to have wages as a focus topic for August.
Well, do you want wages or do you want youth programs overall? I think it fits well to do all.
Right.
Just do all, okay.
Yeah.
Carlos and Bob, what's your opinion?
I think it's fine. We can do a model presentation.
Okay.
I have a question that for the commissioners, maybe you don't have to answer now, but think about it in the future. Do you want focused topics because you want a focused topic, or you need to learn about that thing? Because if you already know about wages and you know about those things, let us know. I don't want to come here and talk about wages when you already know about that. So what do you want to know?
I guess for me, I'm not 100%, informed about everything that goes on at the agency, but I do, I'm fairly familiar with all the programs and things. But the thing that I get out of the focus topics is especially like to meet the clients that have participated in it, because what they are saying and what they're getting out of it lets me know how effective those programs are.
Yeah, and I have to say, you know, this was the second time through with the deafblind community, and the different people was, it made the whole thing different.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, I really think it's kind of like going to an advocacy group, you know, national meeting. You learn something every time you, even though you know some of the same things are going to be there, you still learn from these people.
I agree, and I also think it's something that we hold out there to the public to inform them.
Yeah, exactly. Public comment. That's another good point.
For me, it's definitely still an educational thing. I mean, youth programs, I never participated in them growing up. You know, Bob, I've been fortunate that Bob's asked me to help out a couple times at Wages. Winterfest. Winterfest. Mm-hmm. And I'm fairly familiar with that program, and I've seen Wages from the outside, but PI, I have no experience with that. It'd be great to hear about that and what that's all about, as well as the other aspects of Wages and some of the other things you guys do.
And you have people like you have people like Karen Anderson and Katie Regan and people who have been through those programs. You know, we could even have.
Yeah, it would be. You know, I think that's a great idea too, to learn the kids that are in it at present, maybe, and also maybe the kids that have been through it and where they are now and what they're doing now, you know, maybe, you know, a couple of each or however you may decide.
By listening to you, I agree with all of that. My only concern is that one day won't be enough for the three of them together.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, we can have a two-day meeting in Hastings.
Carlos, if you really feel that way, that there's more material to cover than what could reasonably be done in the time frame that we generally allow for a focus topic, why don't we make it two topics?
Well, I don't know. I personally think it can be that. You know, I think, you know, what we could do is have, you know, some program descriptions, written program descriptions, you know, that can pretty much be provided ahead of time. I think what you're interested in most, from what I'm hearing, is that, you know, the participants who are in the program, do they feel like it's, they're getting a benefit out of it? Is it working for them? You know, what issues do they have? You know, are there ways we can strengthen the program? You know, like Winterfest, you know, one thing I know that they're going to tell you is that it needs to be longer.
That's a good thing to hear, though.
Yeah, and also I was going to say that I'm sure we can identify participants that have been in all the programs, you know, PI, Winterfest, and so Wages. And so I think, you know, we could bring in a few people that could speak to all three. You know, those are basically, that is our transition program for the most part.
Right. No, I don't doubt we could do it. I'm just concerned that it's not going to be the details I think you
well, want. You know, how comprehensive you want it to be.
Then I guess I would rather not cover everything and get the details. And then so do just Winterfest or just Wages and focus on that, and so we can get the feedback on how that particular thing, rather than spending the time on very broad concepts, you know, about what people are doing. Yeah.
Madam Chairman.
Yes.
That's really one of the reasons that what we generally do is we send the board materials. Sometimes it's just a few pages. Sometimes it's a couple of books worth that you all can read ahead of time. And then it's not presented at the meeting, but the public can read all of that later when it's part of the minutes. And so then the time in the meeting can be, like today was phenomenal with, you know, all the people. So I think you can really get a lot of information because of the way that we do it.
Well, and if I don't know, Julie or the board, I mean, if we afterwards we feel that we didn't hear everything we wanted to, or there is an aspect we wanted to get more information on, we could always have that as a future focus topic.
Right.
We could do it again, or you can also always feel free to email or call whoever and, you know, ask whatever questions you have about what's going on.
And I think the material we are sent ahead of time, sometimes that you're reading through that, you know, say, oh, I didn't think of that aspect. I want to ask about that more or whatever, too. So, you know, that kind of information ahead of time is helpful to me.
Yeah, it kind of gives a broad overview. And
I was quite impressed with our focus topic today. Was
yes.
very good, and Matthew in particular was a pure delight. He's a typical teenager through and through.
Okay, so we're going to do youth programs or leave it up to Carlos to focus whatever he feels we can fit in the time frame. And technology in November. Okay, so we're done. That is all of my report. Did anyone from the board have anything to add or things that I've forgotten that we needed to address? Nope. Okay.
I like how you put all that in one instead of revisiting it, you know, at the end, like with, you know, closing announcements.
Oh, the final announcements, yeah.
And talking about the meetings. I like how you did that.
All right.
Okay.
That was good.
Okay, well, I will continue to do that. it works for me. So we have a report from the executive director.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm not going to take my full time, but I'm certainly glad to answer any questions. I'll just maybe try to hit some highlights and see if you want to know more information on anything. I will have a more complete report that will be a part of the minutes. It'll be published with the minutes on the website. So since the current fiscal year started in October of 2009, we've served 392 vocational rehabilitation clients in all statuses and 479 independent living clients in all statuses. We've been tracking our center clients since 1996. The total served now is 173, and at this point in time, 87.2% achieve their employment goals. About 32 are still students, and only 10% are actually not working and not in some kind of program. So that's pretty good. Lots of activities in the center and in the field. Everybody's been very busy. This last quarter is the time of year that we have all of our federal reports are due, plus the state, the report to the governor, the annual report, and this year with the stimulus, the ERA funds, we've had additional reporting to do. So we've had a lot going on in that regard. They all got done, they all got in on time. We do have one staff member, Becky Manning, who's a VR tech in Kearney, has begun a 14-week undergraduate social work internship. She was intending to be here today, but because of the weather, she got as far as Grand Island and decided not to come the rest of the way. Anyway, so she, what we've done to do that internship, she's a half-time voc rehab tech, so now she's basically full-time with the commission, and so the new half-time part is working with the field, doing a lot with services to senior blind people, working with Deanna, but also doing some home teaching and different things. So I think it's really a good opportunity
for her, but also for us to try something we really haven't done before. North Platte District Meeting is coming up in February. Omaha just had their district meeting last week. Those are always good opportunities. We're going to have a very successful rehab counselor from New Mexico come to Nebraska to provide some training to our staff. And her name's Gladys Martinez, and she just kind of has some techniques she uses that are really successful. So now, Carlos, she's working with staff, not clients. Is that right?
Right.
Okay.
Mainly VR counselor.
Yeah, the VR counselor.
And that's employment placement training?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. We're also going to be having some specialized training on career planning for the counselors. And we've been having training on working with people with closed head injuries, traumatic brain injury, and such. And then we're going to follow up with more one-on-one with this. The expert is an individual that we've worked with a long time that is local in Lincoln, but she's also now part of the Federal Technical Assistance and Continuing Education System.
Oh, she was at the last meeting, right?
Yeah.
Right, yes, okay. She introduced herself. Yeah. She has made her schedule available to meet with specific counselors to discuss more in depth, okay, I've got this client, and here's the situation. Mm-hmm. And she'll give input and, so I think that'll be a really useful thing. E-Force is moving along. We're having some issues with speed right now, but we think it's a network thing. We think we can get that worked out. We're working on a older blind conference that is going to be this April and should be a really good opportunity for folks. Also working on an employment conference for clients. And of course, there's lots going on. I'm trying to just hit the main things.
The employment conference, or not the employment conference, the older blind
yes.
conference that's in April. Was it
May
4th, 5th, and 6th?
Okay, May. Was it decided if that is going to be for clients only, or if that will be open for the public to attend?
It'll be. Let's
clients
see.
Only.
Okay.
You know, at least in order to pay maintenance.
Well, I mean, if someone from the public would like to attend and then, you know, pay a conference fee at their hotel, they would be able to.
They would be able to, and also somebody who would be eligible to be a client but just isn't one yet. We can set them up as a client, and their, you know, the training would be the conference.
Because
if they want agency support, they will need to be a client.
Well, yes, and that makes sense.
Right.
But I think that there are a lot of people that may not be ready to be a client because that sort of has a.
They're not ready for that.
But you know, they may be interested in saying that
and
I'm attending a conference.
They may not be able to do this.
Right. Mm-hmm. But having that opportunity so they could to do that.
Right.
May open it up to some people that.
And when I write, when I develop the maintenance material, you know, I'm going to be clear. This is going to be going to a lot of people who are not currently clients.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there may be quite a few people out there who want to attend, but they also want our support, and so it'll be necessary for them to apply and mm-hmm. be accepted for services. But I am going to make it clear that if they want to attend, but they don't want to apply for services, that is perfectly fine too. But we would not be able to help them, assist them with any expenses.
Right. That makes complete sense. Yeah.
And what qualifies them to become a client?
Well, they have to be visually impaired for one thing.
Yeah.
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 And also, you know, well, I guess, you know, the plan that would be developed would be individualized, you know. I think if a person applies, you know, the counselor is going to discuss other needs they might have, you know, particularly of an independent living type of situation. Most of the people who apply are going to apply for independent living services.
Mm-hmm.
And if there are other areas that need to be addressed, I believe that that will happen, you know. So it's not going to be opening up a case necessarily just so people can attend this conference and then we're going to close it, you know. If there are other service needs, you know, I will hope right. that we're addressing those.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. That get what you need on
that did, yes.
Okay. Staff wise, the only change this quarter is that Terry Harris retired. He was administrator of the Business Enterprise Program. We have not, as you know, opened that position. We're managing, we're doing things, we're looking at maybe some different ways to manage that program, but in the meantime, between myself and Bill, Don and Jan, and then we're starting to get Carlos involved with some of the, especially the legalistic aspects of things, we're just managing it, you know, in that way. And so far that's working all right. I'm meeting weekly with Bill, Dan, and Bill, Don, and Jan, the Business Enterprise staff. And so that's moving along. And let's see. The auditor has come up with some additional things that they're questioning, and this just seems to be something periodically the auditor's office will kind of dip into the pool of timesheets or reports, federal reports or different things, and they'll send us questions about this and that. And so mostly Bill and Dave, but also others of us, you know, have to work on finding what they need. And sometimes we learn something new that actually we need a different procedure on a certain aspect of reporting. So that's okay too. Newsline, I wanted to report that the fees at this point are just under $40,000 per year. So I just want to remind people that the agency does pay for Newsline to be in Nebraska. If there are additional newspapers that would be added, it's $5,000 a year extra if others are added from where we are now.
That's an annual expense?
Yes.
So, because I know right. there's a setup fee for right. a new newspaper also.
Right, yes.
That's kind of more of a one-time thing.
Right, but annually...
our price would go up $5,000.
Right. Mm. Okay. So when the Kearney Hub was added, that added $5,000 to what we pay each year.
Okay.
And let's see, working on the Braille bill, we were asked to testify. I did testify and have talked with some senators about that legislation. Also, since I get bored sometimes because I don't have enough to do, I decided I really need to improve my own Braille skills and really want to do that. So I have a pen pal now, a center client, and we're exchanging Braille letters. And I'm taking a course from Hadley School for the Blind. So anyway, that's kind of fun. And, you know, in a nutshell, those are the things. There will be more in my written report that's part of the minutes.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Questions from the commissioners about
what part of the budget is allocated, or I'm going to phrase the question differently. Where does the $40,000 come from Newsline? What part of the budget is set aside for that?
It comes from basic support. It's something that we do. Sorry, I'm distracted by the siren. It's called group services, and so group services allows us to provide
something for people who aren't necessarily clients, but that who are blind and in the state and need this service. Well, plus it's legislated that we have to provide it. But so it's part of the Voc Rehab Basic Support Grant, the federal grant.
In that $40,000 is the Newsline coordinator salary also?
No.
No, that's separate.
We don't cover the... We used to pay for a salaried person, just a part-time.
Right.
But then we had major funding cuts, and we felt that the agency could, by disseminating some of the tasks, we could do that support in-house.
Okay.
And so we stopped doing that, and at that point the state organization decided that they would hire that person.
Right. Any money that the coordinators paid, in this case Jamie, comes from the state affiliate of the NFB.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
Now, other Newsline expense, though, I mean, there is still, I guess if we're talking about Newsline expenses, there is a telephone, I think, down at the agency still number, but...
Yes.
It's paid for somehow.
Right. The cost for that, we have so many phones in the office and that phone is actually used by sort of a general office as well, so... it's not a separate cost that I can really tell you. It's not very much anyway.
You know, I can comment. The phone, I believe, currently or recently was at the desk I work at. I would use it for outgoing calls, but basically I left it alone when calls were coming in.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
This is Hubert, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's fine. Other questions about the executive director report? Okay. Our final item is public comment. So I will open it up to the public. Questions, comments, concerns?
Speak now.
Speak now or forever hold your peace.
I just have a quick question.
Yeah,
Mark.
Yes.
Dr. Van Zandt, last year there was additional funding added for a senior specialist to add a second one.
Yes.
Has that position been filled? And
yes, thank you. The position was added to the Omaha office, and Cheryl Poff, we actually had, I think, three internal applicants. It's not a program specialist, but it's a home teacher orientation counselor specific for senior blind. So that position is now Cheryl Poff. And then that's when, then since the Cheryl's orientation counselor, but focusing on deaf blind as well, it was more general home teacher position, but one focus was deaf blind. Then Elaine Kavulak applied and moved into that. She vacated a home teacher position, just a general home teacher, and Kathy Brown, who was a Voc Rehab counselor, moved into that. Everybody wanted to switch chairs, I guess, in Omaha. So then the one that did not have internal applicants that then we opened to as a, general solicitation for an employee, was filled by Carol Jenkins. Carol, went through center training and then just recently has joined the Omaha staff.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Thank you. Sure. Kind of had to tell the whole story with that.
Okay. Other comments, concerns, questions?
We have a good staff. I just hope, I know some of them are thinking about it, but I hope some of them don't retire yet. They're good staff.
Yes, we have a great staff. We really do.
Okay, well, hearing no more public comments, we'll move on. Final announcements. Does anybody have parting comments from the board? Pearl or Kathy? We've decided on our next meetings and our focus topics, and...
Yeah, May is a staff survey results.
Yes, mm-hmm. May,
Pearl's evaluation.
Pearl's evaluation, and that is in North Platte. August is youth programs, and that's in Hastings. And November is technology, and that's Lincoln. And that does it for this year. All right.
Well, no.
I'd like to thank the public for coming.
Right, that yes. call blast yes. worked.
It's awesome.
Yes, thank you very much for coming. Okay, we will adjourn. Do I have to have a motion to adjourn?
Jim, your what work?
We just adjourned.
Okay, we're adjourned.
Cold blast.